Welcome to the Spoonie Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Fraser. This show is for anyone living with a chronic health condition. From personal experience, I know how difficult it is to navigate life with debilitating symptoms like pain and fatigue. I want you to know that you're not alone, and it is possible to build a life you love alongside your diagnosis. I can't wait to show you how. I hope you are all having a wonderful week so far. I have just been really embracing gratitude lately. I mean, I've always loved gratitude. If you've listened to this podcast, it's such a major part of my recovery, is learning to really look for the silver lining, which can be so hard as a spoonie because there's a lot of challenges that we have to navigate. But I was just lying in bed last night and I just kept thinking of how much my life has changed since implementing the strategies that I teach inside of my programs, in particular the Thriving Spoonie Pathway. I was just remarking about how in our private group that we have with members, people have been sharing their wins and, you know, we have gratitude challenges going on. And it really is remarkable to see the transformations other people are going through, but I've almost forgotten to really pause and realize how much I've transformed in the little ways that you wouldn't even think to be grateful for until you've experienced life as a spoonie. So this is a solo episode where I'm going to be breaking down some of the top 10 changes that have happened in my life since I've learned how to thrive as a spoonie. So the first one is being able to go get a haircut without fearing a flare-up. I don't know about all of you, but going to a hair salon was like my worst nightmare. I think I didn't get a haircut for 2 years. A, because of my concussion, I was so worried about my whiplash, my neck injury, and leaning back to actually get the hair washed. And then the stimulation, I couldn't blow dry my hair for so long because it was so triggering. So being at a salon, having to talk to someone, because I've never actually had the same hairstylist. Actually, now I do. I've been to see the same woman 3 times now, but I have this weird quirk where I've never gone to the same hairstylist more than once in my life. I don't know why. I'm like a very social person, but I've always been afraid of like what happens after the small talk. And I'm really good at the small talk conversation, which is just so random. But yeah, so I feel like I just went on a whole tangent there. But yeah, getting a haircut was so scary. And now that I can actually go, not worry about it triggering a setback, go in the middle of my day, being able to talk and have the hair dryer going and the cutting and looking down and not have to wear sunglasses and everything. So getting a haircut is one of the biggest wins that's happened since I learned how to thrive. A second one is about medication. I used to have to spend one day each week looking at all of the supplements I had, like so many supplements, and all the different medications and prescriptions I was on. And it would take so long to sort them all out into like a little pillbox organizer thing I had. And it was just tough. And I used to look at medication and be like, oh, I don't want to take this. So it's been so wonderful to get off all of the supplements and all of the pain medications I had been on, and no more experimenting and seeing what works with what's causing side effects versus what's actually helping symptoms. And that is a huge blessing because I know a lot of people kind of resent medication. I'll tell you one thing I did in the middle as I was transitioning and weaning off of a lot of things was start to have a gratitude practice and be very intentional. So every morning or whenever I took medication, I would actually hold it in my hand and almost just like close my eyes and wish that the medication would do what it was intended for. Instead of fearing it, I was like, okay, I really believe that this is going to help support my body and my health. And then I would take the pill. Because, you know, there are some people who reluctantly take medication because they know it helps somewhat, but they still maybe feel shame about it. And so that's just a little tip that I like to share with people. Just when you're actually taking your medication, it's better for you to believe it's going to help you because the nocebo effect is actually stronger than the placebo effect. So if you believe something isn't going to help you, it's more likely not to than if you like believe that it will. Even if it's a sugar pill, it'll have a stronger impact. The research is fascinating on this. I think the most absolutely huge thing that has transformed over the last couple years has been my energy, the level of activity that I can do, because everyone knows being a spoonie comes with many ups and downs and the whole boom bust cycle, which I've talked about a lot in previous episodes. But there were some days where getting out of bed was exhausting. I remember there were times where even turning over in bed made me so dizzy. And we're even going for a walk for 5 minutes, I needed support. Or I remember in early 2022, my husband was away working out of town and I didn't even have enough spoons to go downstairs to unlock the door for the dog walker I had to hire because I couldn't walk my dog. So the fact that now I talked in a previous episode how I just biked the Legacy Trail, like a 2-hour bike ride in the mountains. And also last weekend, I went and did a hike and I was expecting it to be a 2-hour hike because that's been within my window. I know I can manage it with breaks. We actually ended up on the wrong hike. And it wasn't until an hour in that we realized I'd brought hiking poles to help me out because it's also, there's some snow and ice and mud in some of the hikes in the mountains right now this time of year. And I was like, this is way harder than it was described. Come to realize, I asked someone on the hike, I was like, what hike do you think you're on? And they told me Pocatero Ridge. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's a level hard hike. That's 8 hours or something wild like that. I don't know exactly the time length. So luckily we turned around in time, but I was at that point really bummed because it's like, well, I just used a lot of spoons. Do I have enough energy to go do the actual hike that I want to do? But a lot of people travel from all over the world during fall to the Rocky Mountains because there's these golden larches. They're like a spruce tree, but during the fall, they turn this beautiful golden color. And I'd never seen them before. Because even before I became a spoonie from my post-concussion syndrome, I was never really that active. I've always had a kidney disease and I've now known I've always had hypermobility, which obviously impacted things. And I didn't know how to specifically increase my energy in a safe way that didn't provoke symptoms. But I really wanted to see these golden larches. It was a goal for me. And having a goal is such a huge motivator to keep working because it does take time. I've consistently been increasing my capacity. Every month I get stronger and stronger. And it's a testament to how much pacing works and the different strategies we talked about building sustainable movement as a spoonie, regardless of your diagnosis. Energy is actually spending energy to earn money. Spending energy to earn energy is actually such a real concept that a lot of people mistake. But of course, it involves a lot of things like mindset and knowing how to do it safely. But anyway, so fast forward, I said, I really want to do this hike. So we did it. We actually went back down, crossed the highway and went up the hike we were supposed to. All in all, I did 8 kilometers, which is wild. And it took me 4 hours. But my husband had his Garmin, so he was able to track. An hour of the 4 hours I spent resting, broken into chunks. That's what pacing is. So I was so proud of myself. Of course, I was exhausted after I went and slept and I had used up all my spoons. But throughout the hike, I knew I had to take lots of breaks and I knew I had to eat and I hydrated and I just sat down a lot. I lied down a couple of times and I knew that my mindset was a huge motivator. I was like, I can do this and I want to get to the top because I want to be able to tell people that follow me on Instagram or on the podcast, like you can do this too when you believe in yourself. I might have not done it as fast as others and I definitely took way more breaks than others. There were 3-year-olds and 80-year-olds who were passing me by. But the moral of the story is like, I did it. I went from being stuck in bed for years to now, thanks to a series of evidence-based strategies, truly thriving. That's what thriving looks like to me, being able to do what lights me up. I know my husband's so active. He's done a freaking Ironman. Like, he is a fit guy. And it really devastated me that I couldn't partake in these different activities with him. So that's been a big motivator for me to boost my energy and continue to see how it impacts my whole life. So that was the third one, is just how much my energy levels have improved and me being able to hike and bike and do all sorts of other things. Another tip I'll say is if you happen to have a treadmill at home or maybe you have physio exercises to do, something that really helped me was habit stacking. So we love reality TV, Big Brother's on 3 times a week right now, so, or like Golden Bachelor, whatever you're watching. There's so many good shows, Survivor, Amazing Race. We walk on the treadmill or go on the bike or like lift some easy weights, or I do my physio exercises while we're watching those shows. So it's a nice motivation to keep me motivated, and it's been a game changer. Okay, so number 4 is how I can go to social events now. I know a lot of spoonies struggle with committing to things because they don't know what to expect. They're not sure if they're going to have enough spoons. And also, depending on the social event, like let's say it's eating at a restaurant, or let's say it's going to a house party or some sort of market or festival, like it's really hard to predict what's going to happen. I remember, I've told this story before, but over the holidays, the first few months I was on disability leave, like trying to go to a family event, and like literally I walked in, I heard the music, I was so overstimulated, had barely any spoons because I didn't even know how to pace at the time. I ran into my cousin's closet and just started bawling and then had to be driven home. Or I remember trying, I really desperately wanted to go to this one really cool market that was happening downtown, and my husband drove me and we got in an argument, and I ended up like trying to go in and just like totally going into panic, and I threw up inside of a McDonald's bag. It was just, it was bad. Or even just like friends who wanted to drop by, and I couldn't even give them a date of like, yeah, maybe this time will work. So one of the biggest ways I've become a thriving spoonie is that I know how to manage my days and times in the right way so that I don't have to worry about bailing or having to leave early or having to like go in any public place with sunglasses and earplugs and all sorts of things to help me manage and load up on pain meds, like that I just don't have to worry about that anymore. And that's been huge because it can be so isolating being a spoonie and people don't always understand what we need. But part of that also came with me learning how to advocate for myself. And gradually, as I improved and implemented these strategies, learning to ask my friends like, hey, can you come over for a cup of tea? And then being able to say like, hey, I'm actually like really tired now, I'm going to go lie down. And then like kind ways to let them get the drift that like I needed to go rest. So yeah, definitely that has been a huge thing. Hey, it's Emily. I wanted to let you know about a free resource I created called Flare Up Freedom. Most spoonies are stuck in what I like to call the boom-bust cycle. So maybe you have a somewhat good day, and then you're like, I gotta get everything done on my to-do list, and you inevitably push yourself too hard and end up crashing and being forced to rest. I know how frustrating this is. Trust me, I was stuck in the boom-bust cycle for years. But I'm proud to say that it's been over a year since I had a major flare-up. I went from being stuck in bed on disability leave to thriving on two-hour hikes and bike rides, traveling the world, and building a life of joy alongside my health conditions. And the great news is I am sharing some of my evidence-based strategies in this training. So if you want to learn how to prevent unpredictable symptom flare-ups, radically increase your energy, and find freedom from chronic pain and fatigue, scroll down to the show notes and click the link to register. I can't wait to hear your feedback. Now let's get back to the episode. The fifth one has been being able to go to the movies, or honestly, even watch TV. I used to not be able to manage it at all because it was just, I had binocular dysfunction. So I had convergence insufficiency with my eyes, which essentially I had double vision, blurry eyes. It caused migraines. It was really bad. Vision therapy helped me a lot with that, along with a bunch of other strategies I teach in TSP. But I remember trying to go to see John Wick 2. It was the first movie I was going to attempt to see after a couple of years, which in hindsight was like the worst movie I could have chosen because there's so much going on in the screen and my eyes having to move side to side and all the lights. So I remember going and I had a neck pillow. I had loaded up on pain meds. I was wearing sunglasses. I had a stress ease spray to use. I had my peppermint oil, earplugs, a weighted blanket, and I was just like going to the theater, and I pretty much had to keep my eyes closed for what, 70% of the time, because it was overstimulating and I had to go out and take breaks, and it was a whole ordeal. So being able to just go see a movie now in theaters and not worry and just be able to watch it and have fun without needing any of the additional supports has been life-giving. Reading is also a really big thing. And the sixth thing I want to share today is because along with the binocular dysfunction, it was really hard for me to read. And with my neck, I didn't know what positions I needed to make sure to keep my neck and do strengthening exercises in order that looking down didn't trigger a bunch of symptoms. Which honestly, that's a big factor, especially people who have hypermobility, like learning how to like strengthen the neck is a key factor in preventing headaches and different subluxations, etc. But basically with reading, I used to not be able to really do it. I used to have to listen to podcasts or audiobooks a ton. And even that still used spoons for me because of the cognitive thinking. But with reading, I would basically set a timer, read for 5 minutes, and then I would have to pause and look at something in the distance, like 20-ish feet, and stare at it for 20 seconds. And I would do that constantly because that was one way to recenter and ground myself. But I was just reading last night a book by Jenna Kutcher, and which is so exciting because I'm going to my first female entrepreneur conference. It's in Jasper in the mountains at the end of October. And I've loved Jenna Kutcher for a long time, and she's going to be the keynote speaker. So I've been rereading her book, and I was just thinking to myself as I was reading, like, this is so cool that I can read. And I haven't even thought about the fact of how much my capacity has improved. And I think that's one thing, is we forget to recognize how far we've come. Even if what I'm describing to you feels like a marathon to you, truly, these things felt so unreachable to me for so many years. So whatever it is that's your momentum, think about, how have you been increasing your capacity and improving? Because sometimes when we still feel like we're buried, it's easy to feel like we haven't made any progress at all, but that's definitely not true. The seventh thing that I'm so grateful for is the fact that I don't have to keep track of all of the receipts for all of my medical expenses anymore. I was involved in a lawsuit because I'd been rear-ended and sustained the brain injury. And then I had to balance. In Canada, we have universal healthcare, but it doesn't cover things like massage or physio or a bunch of other things. Or even all the prescriptions. So my husband had health insurance with his company, and then I had health insurance with mine. So I had to submit it to one and then wait to get it back and then submit the rest that wasn't covered to the other one. And then with the rest of that, keep track of all the receipts and add it to a Google Drive so I could send it to my lawyer and add the spreadsheet. It took hours of each month, and it was the biggest use of spoons ever. I wish I had realized how emotional spoons also impact our energy. It's not just physical spoons. And I just remember it being so stressful. And the fact that I was going to 5 to 7 medical appointments a week, just trying to find any type of relief. Now I know there was no way any of those could have helped me because I was doing way too many things at once, trying to do like hustle culture my way to healing. And I was just submitting some receipts the other night with my husband because we go get a couple's massage once a month at this place that has steam rooms, saunas, hot tubs, and it's just like a really nice place, and they have a cold plunge. So we just love to relax and do that. And I go to acupuncture once in a while just for relaxation purposes, but to just have to submit a couple receipts a month, like, and they're not because I need it, but because it's something I enjoy and it's just something for my relaxation and to help like maintain my spoon levels is such a relief, because I remember going to go to all these different doctor's appointments and it being so draining. So if you're in that stage right now, I have so much empathy for you. I know it's hard. I really encourage you to take a break. If you've been in this hustle mode going nonstop trying to find answers, even if you're still seeking a diagnosis, something I really like to teach my clients is just, what if you let it be easy? What if you step back and instead of searching and seeking and trying to control your way through all of this, what if you step back and allow the resources to find you? I kind of think if you're already listening to this podcast, you're being guided. You found this podcast for a reason. You found my resources for a reason. Let all the other things you do come to you in the same way. It's how I ended up finding the dog. I just remember suddenly having this like intuitive message come through of like PRP. And someone had mentioned platelet-rich plasma injections early on. And I remember just one day finally asking my doctor, and she was like, yeah, I know someone. She referred me, and those ended up being such a game changer. That's how I found out I had hypermobility disorder. And that's how I got connected with a physio who is so helpful in helping me with strength exercises and just making sure I stay motivated with my movement goals. So it's so amazing what you do when you step back and let the universe, or whatever word you want to call it, help guide and support you. Okay, three more left. I feel like I could have made a list of 30, but I'll keep it shorter. The eighth one is that I can drive and that I can be a passenger. I just shared that I'm going to that conference soon. That's a 7-hour drive from where I live. And the fact that, well, I could have driven it myself, although my husband is thankfully going to come with me and drive. I remember I could barely drive myself 10 minutes without needing to pull over and breathe and meditate. Now I know obviously my vision problems were a factor, but there were so many times I freaked out as a passenger and my husband had to like say, okay, you're okay, you're safe. Driving is a high spoon activity. Remember when it was raining once and I was driving myself to a physio appointment like years ago and I hadn't seen the windshield wipers on yet since I'd been injured. And it was just, oh my goodness, so overstimulated to try and deal with that. There were years where even as my capacity was increasing, I didn't listen to music. I couldn't. So even the fact that I can now listen to a podcast or listen to music while I'm in the car, that is the biggest gift of all. How beautiful that listening to music in a car or being in a car or driving yourself in the car can be such a goal for us Spoonies. But that is one of the beautiful things, is that Spooniehood helps us realize the little things we can be grateful for in life. If you're not at that point yet, I totally get it, because I remember being like, there's no good that has come from this. Why me? Why did this happen? Actually, the episode just before this one with Dr. Gibson is a great listen, because she talks about post-traumatic growth and how it is a beautiful thing that people can go through illnesses or diagnoses or injuries and realize and come out a stronger person in the end and be genuinely grateful for the experience. So yeah, driving is number 8. Number 9 is being able to do laundry, which again, like, I never thought I'd say that I'm happy I can do laundry, but just this week I did 2 loads of laundry and folded it all and put it all away all in the same morning. And I just, while I was also working and everything, and I sat down on the couch after and I was like, holy crap. It was one of those moments of, I've been improving so much that I haven't even been acknowledging myself or recognizing it. Like, yes, of course I've been improving, but I've still been using so many pacing strategies. Like with laundry, I would do one load and then take breaks and then fold later and then another day, put it away. The fact that I can do all of these things without necessarily having to take as many breaks is huge to me. And this happens for so many people inside of TSP. In fact, it's to the point where it's like, whoa, I can do so much. Like, what? It's kind of scary for people when they start to improve. And it's a whole other layer of the journey of, okay, now that my capacity is improved, what's my new warning sign per se that it's time to take a break? Because as our symptoms reduce or are eliminated, it kind of gets trickier to know when to take a break. So pacing is an ever-evolving thing. But the moral of the story is, it doesn't have to just end. Like, you're not stuck to pacing for the rest of your life. These are kind of things that improve over time. I can now handle longer periods of cognitive tasks before then taking a break, or I can go out and be out for a few hours and then come home and take a break, as opposed to only being able to be out for a half hour or something like that. It gets better over time. And then finally, the 10th one is just how much my relationships with everyone in my life have improved. But particularly, I'll say with my husband, because I feel like it's been coming up a lot lately, people struggling with navigating romantic relationships, whether they desire a relationship or whether they're in one that's been impacted by becoming a Spoonie. And I'll say, we did not know how to navigate it. I didn't understand what was happening to my nervous system and why I was lashing out all the time and bouncing between anxiety and depression. And it all started to make sense once I started to learn about the window of tolerance and polyvagal theory. But I just look at the fact that my husband and I can have conversations now and resolve things. Like, we have so many tools about how to have boundaries and how to communicate with each other, how to appreciate each other. And that truly is a blessing, because if you've listened to any of the episodes I've recorded with Adam, you'll know that we contemplated divorce because things got so bad. So if you're struggling in your relationship, just know things will get better. And that's really the moral of everything I talked about today, is just, don't give up. Don't give up. There were so many times that I really felt like giving up. I thought, there's no way things are ever going to get better. And patience is one of the hardest things, especially when your symptoms or flare-ups are unpredictable and you never know what each day is going to bring. And you just feel like you're constantly in this cycle of, okay, I have a bit more energy. Yay. Is this the day that finally things get better? And then just moments later, maybe you crash or the symptoms come on and then you're afraid of it. And that fear perpetuates the cycle. It's not easy, but I'm rooting for you and I believe in you. And I just want you to know that it's possible to improve. I hope. I mean, I know I love hearing messages from all of you that my story inspires you. And I'm not saying that I've cured anything. I still have multiple chronic health conditions. But the difference is I don't identify as being someone who's sick anymore. I use Thriving Spoonie as a very empowering term. I look at everything I've learned from this journey and truly appreciate it. And I stopped just acting like things would never get better and I would get stuck. Like one example is with my hypermobility, I can't sleep on my side anymore because I've since learned that when I do, my ribs subluxate and they go out of position and that leads to major headaches. And was it hard to stop sleeping on my side because that was a pattern I was used to? Of course. But I could have chosen to just complain about that my whole life and be frustrated and be say, why me? Why do I have hypermobility? But when I realized, oh, when I actually do this, I don't feel pain. Oh, that's an easy switch I'm willing to make. And it took time to repattern my brain and like remind myself not to go onto my side. It's not that it was easy, but combined with knowing the physical reason and understanding the mindset strategies to shift and how to actually rewire my brain using neuroplasticity, just all of these different tools really helped me. So it's about how you approach it and knowing like, yes, are there some things that I like, maybe doing the hikes that I did would have taken other people 2 hours. It took me 4 hours, but I'm not going to complain about how slow I was. I'm going to focus on the fact that I actually did it. And maybe not other people would have had to come home and sleep for the rest of the day, but I did. But I view that as empowering because I know what tools and strategies work for me. If I didn't, I absolutely end up in a flare-up. It's just that I know that when I follow the strategies I teach inside of TSP, I don't end up in a flare-up and I'm able to live a joyful life. So it's not that it's because I had a concussion and people improve from concussions, like, or it's not that maybe mine's different. Like, I had all the diagnoses that so many people had, like POTS and et cetera. But there is a way to move forward. And if you find inspiration from people who have figured out how, it's so doable. There are so many people that have figured out how to go into remission or improve from autoimmune and complex chronic illnesses, rare diseases. It's possible for you, but you have to decide that you're ready. Because something that's really insightful, I was speaking with a friend and she was talking about how there is some payoff to being sick and to think about like what is the benefit of being sick in this moment and maybe why is your subconscious mind, not consciously, nobody wants to be sick, but subconsciously, what could be looping there as a reason for this to keep you in this way, which is totally off topic from this episode. But I did want to share that I'm about to launch a new course called The Art of Pacing. Maybe if you're listening to this episode later, it'll already be out and you can just message me to learn more about it. But if you're interested in joining us, it's going to be a 3-week program and I'm going to teach you pacing because pacing is probably the thing I get asked most about. And I think it's the starting point of all of the improvements that I made. When I truly learned how to embrace rest and how alternating periods of rest with activity boosted my energy, it was incredible. But also everyone's situations are different. Some people are still working. Some people have families. So this course, the 3-week live group program, will also have access to me as a mentor and there'll be Q&A so that I can really help guide and address everyone and provide some one-on-one support. So I'm really excited about that program. It's going to be really accessible to everyone. And because I'm launching for the very first time, you're going to get like the best deal on it ever. Just scroll down and join the wait list because people who are on that VIP wait list are going to be the first to join. So you can make sure to secure your spot if you decide to join us. And also you'll get access to like epic savings. So really encourage joining the VIP waitlist. Even if you're not sure, then you'll at least just get notified. I'll be sending out some emails in the coming weeks about it. So super stoked. And I hope you appreciated this episode. Part of it was just for me to really pause and look at all the ways that my life has changed because it's really easy for me to just feel, because I've worked so much on my identity, I just really feel like such an empowered spoonie that I forget what it was like in the early days when it did not feel like this at all. So just know I was someone who was like really upset at people who talked about how they could improve and I didn't think it was possible for me. but it so is. And things can happen quickly. It's incredible to watch the difference between people who are like newer members of TSP compared with people further on in the program and people who are alumni. When we have our connection calls, we all do them together. And just to see the difference in how much people change and transform so quickly when they really learn to put themselves first, it's truly beautiful. So thank you for listening. I really appreciate all of you who make this show possible. If you have been enjoying episodes, please consider leaving a review. It helps so much to make sure that other Spoonies can find these resources. So go ahead and I don't know how, wherever you're watching, scroll down, like, and leave a review. It'd be incredible. If you're not in Canada, I actually don't get to see reviews. So if you want to send me a DM with a screenshot of it, I would love to hear what you're saying. Take care, everyone, and sending spoons. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope that this episode helped you restore some of your spoons. If we're not already connected on Instagram, make sure to go follow me at The Spoonie Mentor and send me a DM to introduce yourself and share some of your takeaways from the episode. You can also visit emilyfraser.ca to join one of my programs or courses and learn different ways we can work together. Sending so many spoons, and I'll see you next Wednesday.